Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new Pushing Media episode. Finally, we got him. It is Bulldog Newt. It's been a while to get this man, let me tell you that. The team have been working behind the scenes to get this man on. But he picked his time correctly, but I'll let him introduce himself, of course. Thank you for coming on, for first off. But explain who you are to the people, my friend.
I'm Newt. I sort of, fuck me, I've probably been doing this longer than some of you have been born. Like, I started Bulldog 5 years ago. We've been to a few events, done some bits. I'm now a 40-year-old dad, and I thought it's about time we change the way we do things. I can be quite open and honest and frank sometimes, but it isn't being disrespectful. It's just because I really love the scene, and I don't like people that are taking advantage of others or coming out with bullshit, to be honest.
No, I get that. Of course, before we get into a quick shout out to Social Esports, thank you for powering Pushing Media week in, week out. Of course, without this, without you guys, this wouldn't be possible. So, appreciate all the stuff you guys doing. Of course, as usual, to people in the chat, we will be taking questions from the Twitch chat as well. So, feel free to drop them in there and we'll pick them off as we go. Of course, try to keep them somewhat related to, you know, the whole topic of what this is instead of spiraling off out of control. But Bulldog Esports, I suppose, your baby.
In many ways, mate. But do you know what, right? When we announced what we announced, I sort of found out it weren't just my baby. Like, the amount of people that come through and have got fond memories or we've helped, I didn't realise. I don't even know the photographer, Grizzly. We were the first people to give him a paid job in esports. Caster Campbell, when he was starting out casting, I got talking to him in an event. And I said I'd help him. We bought him his first mic to start casting with. And there's other people. I'm only mentioning those two because they're the two that have sort of said it publicly. But there's other people we bought controllers for in the past when the kids couldn't afford controllers and stuff like that. And it was really nice to have these people's messages. So although it is my baby, I feel there's still some people in the community that have also got a tie with it as well. So it's almost their baby as well, like.
Yeah. Now, you was Bulldog Esports, of course, for the longest time. You joined in August 2014?
Yeah, about that, mate. It's been a while, wasn't it?
It's been a long while. It has been a long while.
Nick Lethals would have been in about 40 organisations in that time. I'm just joking, Nick, if you're watching, mate, sorry.
Oh, my God.
He's a proper nice lad, I'm sorry. He knows.
Nah, he is, he is. But I replied to him the other day about stop joining orgs and stick to one. But yeah, August 2014, of course, you was Bulldog Esports up until January the 10th, I suppose. And now you have announced you're changing to Bulldog Entertainment. And the one thing I seen you tweet that you wanted to get out there, which I will let you say, you're not leaving what?
Esports, mate. So this is the confusing thing. I know a lot of people didn't watch the video by the DMs I got. And what we're trying to do, as we'll explain again a little bit later, but I don't want to sort of take away questions.
Yeah,
but we're dropping. So when we enter competitions, we're just going to be called Bulldog. Now, when we was in the LEC, not the LEC, wrong, I wish we was in the LEC. When we was in the UKLC, even the UKEL, when their games are casted, we get called Bulldog. When we used to be lucky enough the odd time, when we was at Gfinity in the last chance qualifiers and stuff like that, we'd again get called Bulldog. No one really called us Bulldog Esports apart from ourselves. So we'll just be entering them as Bulldog, but the overall parent company will be called Bulldog Entertainment now because of our revenues we're going to be looking into. And I thought, because we're going to bring some new people on, potentially another couple of investors, it was only right to start afresh rather than them coming onto my baby. You know what I mean? My thing will start afresh. And it's, again, more people's baby. I'm happy to share the love, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think that alone is just quite like a caster's thing as well. Because it's always annoying to say esports at the end of it. It's because no one's casting, you know, you say the full name Bulldog Esports versus Radiant Esports, for example. It's just it's very formally long to say, especially when you're trying to get out what you're trying to get out.
It's a bit of a throwback to how things were, mate. Like, back in the day, a lot of teams came with that to identify who they were, you know what I mean? Esports, even if you think, what, 5, almost 6 years that we've been doing it, esports. Although the COD thing is probably a little bit bigger, there's definitely weren't the money in it. But everyone wanted to identify that there was an esports team, you know what I mean? Because there wasn't that many around, so that was it. But now esports is becoming more and more mainstream. I don't think alls necessarily need to have it. Well, I don't believe, well, not just me, like we don't believe that we do. So that's part of the reason why we dropped it.
Nah, I get that. One question I've seen from Lucien. I know that's one of your...
Hello, bruv.
Good ones. I'd wanted to get this one out there because it's...
My little Essex boy.
It's just interesting to see, but does your wardrobe only consist of Ralph Lauren, Tony?
He can talk. He's got like, if it ain't Stone Island. No, North Face, that's it, ain't Stone Island. It's North Face, mate. All he does is wear North Face. I'm glad that he pays a lot of attention to what I'm wearing, though. It must be an Essex thing, isn't it, sweetheart?
So yeah, with the whole format now moving into Bulldog Entertainment, of course your Twitter is already at 7,291 followers from when I last seen. I don't know if you've gained a follower from then to now.
I can't even check it, mate.
And your YouTube is 838 subscribers. You use YouTube quite a lot?
No.
I'll take the word active to what I've seen.
All right, yeah, so don't get me wrong, we've got some videos that banged, like, so we've got like videos with 20,000 views. We've got that was obviously me. We've got a League of Legends player done a walkthrough of a champion that's got 18,000 views. I think some of my others have probably got like 17,000, 11,000, 4,000. So some of our videos do right for 800 subscribers. If you were to look at our view rate to our subscriber rate, we're doing pretty good in that sense. But that's something we want to do more though. So in the future, we are going to use it more, which is again why we're sort of chucking in the entertainment just to remind me in case I forget to use it. So it's just that, we have a pretty decent platform. Like we're blessed that we've got a pretty loyal fan base. I mean, I wouldn't even say fan base, just friends. There's more friends than fans. I don't see it as fans.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as long as we put out something good, I mean, if you put out something crap, it's never going to get views anyway because it don't deserve it, you know what I mean? But if we actually spend some time thinking about stuff and put a bit of effort in, we can normally get decent views for people. And one of the things we want to do is help players develop themselves because they have so much more value to an organisation. And it also gives them something to fall back on. So Tolian, the lad who'd done that League of Legends video, for example, he was playing for us and he was saying he wanted to improve his profile. What would I suggest? So I said to him, right, do one of these, because at first he didn't want to do it. The because was he sees it as right. He's in that little echo chamber of just around players. And to him, other players don't need to be taught how to play a champion because they already know it. So what's the point? But the reality of it is there's more people that actually play computer games outside at a casual level than there ever is at esports or competitive.
Yeah.
And you tap into them. You're not making videos for your friends. You're making video for the wider audience because then you're going to get more hits and you're going to get more brand identity and you're going to get your name out there more. And it, especially now with... things have sort of changed. Back in about 2 years ago, orgs really didn't have much of a say when they got teams. Teams really had the strong hand because there's so many organizations around and it was all willing to chuck money at people.
Yeah.
But as there's less credible organizations, we sort of get a little bit more say in things and teams would pick up and we can probably get a more sensible deal nowadays. So we could be looking at 3 or 4 teams. Now, if they're all roughly the same level, but one team's got a few players that's got a good social media presence, streams to a decent amount of people, or makes YouTube content, or is willing to do that for us, we'd be more likely to pick those up than we would the players that don't really want to help us along our journey as well.
I think you said it in your YouTube video as well. I think you hit it perfectly. You mentioned about, you know, taking teams to LANs, etc. And at the end of the day, it depends on the relationship you have with that player, but there's not always a positive outcome for the organisation. So with what you said was quite correct, is you'll take a team to a LAN, but you're basically sending them for a holiday to play video games with their mates. When they see their mates, they go over, you know, they completely forget about what they've got to do. Obviously, with an org's perspective, you know, you have to fulfill content. Obviously, if you've got sponsorships, you have to fulfill their contract agreements as well.
If you think of it this way, mate. So when we started, our first ever team with Gunfu and Carl and that we sent to an event was just for... we didn't even give them tickets. We just got them jerseys. I think that was it. Or we might have got them ticket. I think it might have been ticket and jerseys. And there was only 4 people. It was about £200 for the ticket. I don't know if they paid for the jerseys. And that's what they went for. Nowadays, people are literally messaging me for like £3,500 event. Right? And that's in 5 or 6 years. That's how much it's changed. Now, the reality of it is, I've said to players in the past, and I'd recommend any organizer to do this. When a team approaches you and asks for money like that, sit them down and say, right, how do I make anything from this? So for example, like, okay, you've got X amount of reach social media, a lot of, especially Call of Duty. I'll go back to that quite a bit because it's where most of these people probably know me for.
Yeah.
But especially with Call of Duty, there isn't many players that are going to join us at this level that have got, that don't know about Bulldog anyway. So we're not really going to get much feed over from their Twitter followers. And then even if we was to account it in, a lot of them don't have a big following. So there's not real much, really much monetary value in that. So then you're going to have to think about getting any cash return from them. The odds on most of the teams getting a cash return, I mean, it's top 16 in the next event, I think they're going to pay out on. When you take into consideration the Americans, the amount of teams that is probably two, three, possibly four European teams that have got a really good chance of getting in the top 16.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are sort of, you're taking a bit of a gamble on. And then even some of them only want to give you a small percentage of any winnings. So you're never really going to make, this event's been a bit different. People have been offering more. But in general, you're only going to get a little bit of money back from that, which is why teams don't normally try to operate on the money you're going to get back from teams at events. So then you have to look at what else. So right, you're going to get some photos. Now, if I was to, if a bloke was to come up to you at an event where you're playing and say, mate, I'll give you 50 quid if I can take some photos of you while you're playing the game, you're going to go, all right, bruv. You know what I mean? Give me the 50 quid, take some pictures. It ain't hurting me. And so what? With five players, even if you calculate that at 250 quid, you know what I mean? There's not, you're not getting nowhere near the return back to make it sort of worthwhile. Yes, you have to take a hit because if you want to be an esports organization, you have to have teams, and I accept that. So then you put that sort of money on top of it as well. You know what I mean? Your own sort of accepted running costs. But then you have to look as well, on top of what they're going to ask, you have to spend £100 on jerseys. If you're going to get a photographer for the event, you're going to spend 200 quid on the photographer. If you want to make videos, you've got to get someone else in. That's another 200, 300 quid. So you've already got another 500 quid probably, if you're going to try to do it properly, on top of what they're asking for as well. And it's just, it's getting ridiculous now, mate. So for us to send teams, we have to have people that are, one, a bit sensible, and two, want to work with us. Because it's going to benefit them. You know what I mean? They're going to, they're getting, they can use all the photos, they can use the content and that if they want. You know what I mean? It's not a problem. We do interviews with them and they go to other organisations afterwards and say, look, this is an example of things I'm willing to do. We're willing to do that. It's stuff they can use as well. Yeah. They just don't sort of have the vision at the minute to do stuff like that. And there's also nothing more annoying than when you're speaking to a player and he's like, oh, I really can't afford to go. I need this, I need that. And you're starting to feel for him and you scroll down his Twitter feed. And he's just spent £140 on a pair of trainers or something. You know what I mean? And you're like, you're looking at it and you're like, come on.
That's the scene in a nutshell.
But you know what I mean? And that's the truth. So you're like, look, you're passionate about this. You say, you really think you can do something, but you ain't got the sense to spend 60 quid, 80 quid on a pair of trainers. You know what I mean? Save a bit of money and stuff like that. And I think a lot of players sort of try to take advantage of people. And I see a lot of organisations get taken advantage. And it's just something that we won't do. And I don't think bad, like, when players ask me for stuff like that, because they're entitled to. 100% they're entitled to ask whatever they want. And if they get it, good luck to them. But when you've been around as long as me and you understand the value of teams, it's sort of, it's just too much, you know what I mean? It's silly. Everyone knew that a lot of these events this year was going to be in America. Now, I know some people are at college and that, but you could get Saturday jobs and stuff like that to subsidise it. You've had
100%. Or even months. Evening jobs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've had months and months and months to know about this. And those that are not at university or college, look, like Matt Lewis that's in the call, like he works and still plays at a high level. You can have a job and still compete, you know what I mean? People are just not willing to do it and they expect you to sort of fork it out, like for us to fork it out for them. And I just, like, yeah, it just don't make no sense no more. The scene's gone crazy. Like, it really has.
That's what I mean. So you talk about like how it's changed from when you was around compared to like all the, you know, the newer organizations that we have now. So, you know, I'm looking at your normal universities, Retribute, etc., Shep, Nick and all that. Obviously, compared to what you started off with and how different it is now, as you said, it's quite interesting. When we had that chat as well, before all of this was announced, you said, you know, you can see the difference and a change needs to be made. At what point to you could you see the difference? Like, where in your mind?
About a year ago, mate.
Yeah, what point was it, though? So what made you see
the difference? This sounds really horrible, right? This sounds really horrible, but I don't mean it horribly. It got to the point where there wasn't many other org owners that I respected in.
Yeah.
I'll expand on that. So back in the day, to get followers, right, so to get followers on your account back in the day, there was you were very limited on what you can do. The scene was so much harsher than what it is now, right? So say for example, when Team Descend, like the lads, but they used to do a giveaway every 30 seconds, you know what I mean? And people used to wind them up and have a laugh at them about it to get followers, right? If you'd done that back in the day, you'd have got crucified.
Yeah.
Right. It was all about, you know, earning your followers, you know what I mean? Earning your stripes. And to do that, you had to be smart. You had to go to the events. You had to meet people. You had to, people would like speak to you and know that you understood what you were talking about. And you got your credibility from nowadays, because there's less events and stuff like that. People get away with blagging the life out of it on Twitter. And to those that don't know and are new people in the scene, it's harder for them to see through. And like, they're shut down now. So I say at Aerox at one point, when they recruited about 1,000 streamers, so those streamers who use their code, I fucking hated that. Like, the thing was as well, the guy that took the idea to them was at us first. And he came to me with the idea, and I wouldn't do it because I won't take advantage of people. Then he went over there and done it there, and I hated that. And there's too many people that want the quick fix. They're not prepared to do the hard work. They think that all that matters is their followers, and that's how they are. Like I said, I don't even go into the Bulldog account anymore. I couldn't have told you how many followers we had if you'd have asked me and put me on the spot. I wouldn't have known, because they don't matter. How many followers we have has nothing to do with how good we are at doing our job. Like, and I think it's something you should learn over time. And when I looked around at the things that people are doing, and you can tell what they're doing, and I was just like, this is like shit. And then I started thinking, why is it shit? Like, I don't blame those people. They know no better. Because back in the day, we had... So I remember one of my first Norbert event. I was there, Rift were there. I think they might have finished top four. Revolt was playing for him and that. And they had an owner called Pikey. And I remember afterwards talking to Pikey. I think we finished top four. And we were chatting away. And like, I was listening to the things he was saying. And I said to him, by next year, I want to be doing what you're doing. Yeah. Like, I want to be seen how you're seen. And I had an ambition to try to achieve that. And there was Headshot from Barrage. There was Cat and the Girls and that over at Riot. There were people that was doing stuff properly, in my opinion. You know what I mean? They were working hard. They were, like I said, going to the events, meeting people and doing it all. And they were getting followers that way. You'd never find a giveaway, mate. Like, the only time people that do a giveaway is if you got with a company and they wanted to give you stuff. That was it. Yeah. No one ever spent their money on giveaways. Like, and it just all changed, mate. And so I was thinking, why is it? And then I thought, it's got no one to have conversations with like I did with Pikey, like I would do with other people, you know what I mean, when I come into the scene and was lucky to do. So like I said, I don't blame them, but I just think we're so set in a way that this is how you run an esports organization. This is what's acceptable and this is what we do. And that's when I started thinking, like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
The amount of teams, like I said, the Pikeys and all that, I mean, Headshot's just come back, but all the people that I used to speak to and respect had all left because they couldn't make that thing work. And then I thought, there's got to be another way of doing it. So I thought, what we'll do is we'll do what I feel we do best, and that's look after our people. An organisation people can trust. If we say we're sending some event again to the event, you know what I mean? They don't have none of that worry. There's not going to be a Legion incident where all the players all of a sudden have got to pay for their own hotels and stuff like that. Like... my words, my bond, you know what I mean? If I say we're going to do it. And also, over the time, we've been lucky to have, done the one season we was in the top league of Legends thing. There was a thing with Riot where they came through and they sort of spoke to us about social media and stuff like that and building brands. And like I said, we've tried it with a couple of people and it has worked. We have made it work. So I want to sort of help develop people like that, because we're not no one's final stop. And I totally understand that. Everyone wants to do better than play for Bulldog. Right, and they should, but in order to get there, they need to develop, and I think that's something that we can also provide, as something that a lot of the young people and the new organizations just ain't gonna have the experience or knowledge to be able to do properly.
So Morley, you're moving towards now, obviously as you brought with Target Entertainment, more towards the player profiling as well. So not just essentially sending the team, you're helping, you know, helping the team, but the brand, etc., around the team.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you hit on the head. Like, I think a lot of orgs now are setting their ways. They see one person do something. Well, they see another organization do something, so they do that. But they do it like a month later, or they do it a few weeks later, like the giveaways, etc.
It's like, copy my own work, but don't make it obvious.
Basically, like, if you do a giveaway this week, we'll do one in 2 weeks, and we'll throw an extra thing in there to make it a little better.
Yeah.
So I think that's merely correct on what you're getting. And obviously, with how long you've been in the scene as well, it's understandable as to why you can see, you know, the change that is happening and how orgs are run these days compared to what it used to be as well.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, we used to be at events, right? So Excel were blown up in it. They're smashing 100%. It. Right. So I can remember being at an Albrecht event and I was downstairs getting smashed out in the bonce like I used to with Pato. Right. Like proper getting mortal. And the brothers had like their players in hotel rooms and they were making content and stuff like that. And because unlike some people, I've never wanted esports as my job. I enjoy my job. I'm paid decent. I'm paid really well for the amount of work I do. And this was sort of a hobby. And this is why I'm all interested in helping. So I just went to the events to enjoy myself. That's what it was always about. Mm-hmm. But they, from the day one, they were looking 5 years in advance.
Yeah.
And they were doing everything properly. And every team they took everywhere, they always got something out of it. And through doing that and doing things properly, like Excel, I think the only time, I don't even think they've done a giveaway on Twitter. Like, I'm trying to remember. But they used to have these little zip buddies that they give out at events. But that was pretty much as far as it went. And look at them now, mate. They're probably, the all's probably worth, what, in the millions or something? They've got the league spot would have cost them, what, 5-8 million on its own, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and they started around the same time as us, but they just done things properly where I was just busy getting smashed, you know what I mean? And punching elevators because I was drunk and had the unplug. Watching Pato stand on top of a car and piss off it.
Punching elevators because that's true. That's a new one. That is a new one.
Mate, like, the stories that we got up to. This is why, like, someone's Pyro, loads of people weren't even known that, but he was around for ages and he's doing a law degree now. But he said something like there was no sort of community at events like ours because we was just like, there'd be 30 deep, mate. Like, all sitting there having a laugh, getting drunk, everyone getting on, me getting rounds in and that. I think Pato didn't buy a drink for about 3 events. And but that's what it was all about. It was all, like, it was, I mean, I don't want to be, like, proper, like, the good old days, but it was nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
different.
The community was so much stronger because everyone knew each other, you know what I mean? And you knew if there was a bad organisation, because no one had talked to them at events. Like, you just see them just walking around with no mates and that, and they couldn't be trusted. And if anyone sort of fucked anyone over, they probably wouldn't turn up to the next event because they'd get filled in. So it was just a lot, I don't know, it was just a lot better, mate, like, in my opinion, anyway.
I mean, compared to looking at what the scene is like now, I mean, obviously mainly towards the Call of Duty thing, because that's what we're in. You know, there's a lot of toxicness there and a lot of, I wouldn't say bad blood, but there's just a lot of unnecessary arguing and sort of hating from one to another over.
There's always been arguing and hating. Right. So what generally happened was you'd have a beef on Twitter, build an event, and then like they'd get there and nothing could happen. And that was it, you know what I mean? And people would laugh at it. But there still was that, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, it weren't perfect. You had people who used to get, he's part of the reason I still blame on the level of funding going up, because I don't know how he used to get funded, but he'd pluck it out of his ass and he'd sit there sniffing coke at the table, mate. So he'd be sitting there playing games. He was at an event in a break. So he's sitting there with a controller and he's got coke on a key from his girlfriend and he's shoving it up his nose while he's playing. So at no point was it perfect. Around the place and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But it was just nice. You knew every 2 months you were going to meet up, see each other, because it was about every 2 months there was an event, except obviously in the quieter bit. But that was good for us as well, because during the quieter time you could save your money up for the busier time. You sort of knew what the rotation was going to be. You could sort of judge when the events were. People weren't asking as much back then. It was just, mate, I loved it.
Of course, guys, if you are in the chat, don't forget you can ask Tony questions. Just feel free to throw them and just make sure they are somewhat related. Earlier on, you mentioned obviously the gap between, there's a lot of casual players out there that don't know about esports, and I think you said you was actually that person as well. I think everybody was at one point. You play a game before you knew about esports. In the change for Bulldog Entertainment now, what's your plan to sort of close or help that gap?
Mate, that is the $1 million question. Right. So what we're thinking of doing, one thing we're going to do, we're going to try to have sponsors. So one of them's already part of it. And they're people that, so one of them's going to be a streamer. One of them is a streamer. And they've built their own little community and stuff like that. People like to watch them. A lot of them won't care about esports. And then we're going to look for some others. People that play casual games. Someone that might play Call of Duty may not never be good enough to sort of play at esports or that, but enjoys watching esports, wants to be part of Bulldog. So we bring them on board and they just sort of recruit friends and that to play while they're out there, you know what I mean? Go, which is how I started. I used to be part of a clan. And that's what you'd be doing. You're playing, you play with someone good, you send them a message. And then we had about 30 pub stompers at one point through just doing that, you know what I mean? Just going out and recruiting them. And they all would, in the end of it, just through talking to it, and because they feel part of something, you have to make them feel part of it.
Yeah.
Like, they'd watch, I think we've got about 700 followers on Facebook or something like that. It might be 300, it might be 100, I ain't checked. But we'd post the streams on there, and that's where they used to sort of find it on Facebook. And they'd be watching the streams while they was at work and stuff like that, you know. I mean, there was, one of them worked on the roads, Neil. I mean, he sort of ran it all the time. But when he weren't doing nothing, he'd put his traffic cones out, sitting in watching our streamers, supporting our streamers and stuff like that, you know what I mean? You get quite a lot back for them. And I know a lot of people sort of almost frown upon it, but at the end of the day, they're gamers. And if you want to build a brand, you need to get these people involved. There's not people that currently plan to do it. It's just not. Like, and it's almost like people pay for a retweet or a like. Like, you'll have all these people following you, but they won't retweet your stuff or like your stuff. But these casual people will, because they want to be seen to be doing something, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I get it.
I think it's important, but it is the $1 million question. But like I said, we've got some ideas. I know for a fact if I say them, everyone's going to try to nick them. Like,
yeah, when if you send one to yourself.
I was going to say, when I sneeze, everyone, all the other all go, do you know what I mean, and start doing it.
Yeah, I'd say keeping that one to yourself. A question coming in from Mr. Jamie Birch himself, the man himself. Do you think the fact that we have very few events now has made a difference?
Yeah, mate, I do massively. Like, that's why I was trying to talk about potentially doing one, but then someone else messaged me and I've got more faith in them being able to do it than I am. So I've spoken to them about it, but I'd rather they done it because I think they'll be better at doing it. But yeah, like, we'd have 70 team events, you know what I mean? And yeah. I think the over 18 thing, that had an effect, because you used to get a lot of younger kids. Like, the first team we ever sent, the boys were 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. I made sure their parents come along so I didn't get done like fucking Gary Glitter or something, you know? Turn up, I'm responsible for a couple of 15 and 16 year olds and that, like, boys, sit over there, I'm not coming nowhere near you, you know what I mean? At no point am I going to offer them any of my sweets.
Just make sure you win the games.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, their parents turn up. But you used to get more people for that. When they sort of done the age thing, you lost some of them. And some of them are personalities, like Slayster. Like, he must have been literally just out of his dad's ball sack when he was attending events.
I think he was 14, 15.
Probably was, mate. He was definitely younger than 15, I reckon.
Was
it? I don't know, mate.
I'm sure someone can confirm in the chat, 100%.
Yeah, he had the voice.
Everybody remembers Slayster.
But it was like
13.
It was 14. Just part of 13, 14. I thought he was younger than 15. Like.
Yeah.
And but so we lost all them, you know what I mean? They instantly got wiped off of the amount of people that can attend it. So you probably lost a third of the people that could attend. So then the problem that gives the people that are running events is, whereas before you might have just been able to break even or get close, now you just lost a third of your income from ticket sales. And also, if you're trying to get sponsors to come and put a stall up or something like that, you know what I mean, a stand there, you've also lost a third of the people that could be trying to sort of use to get the people in there and to make some money. So I think that had a knock-on effect of it. I also remember when AM2 Pro was going to run an event and then GFIN, a Gears event, instead, and a lot of people sort of lost faith with AM2 Pro. And at the time, it seemed like a good idea to have a game. But in hindsight, you know what I mean? With the old hindsight, it was a very bad thing, because as soon as they stopped doing it, we lost all our events, mate. And I don't think Activision make it easy for people to do it, neither nowadays. You have to literally, like, bended knee, bend over, lube up, you know what I mean? If you want them to do it, they don't sort of understand that without the grassroots stuff, eventually some of the players will stop coming through.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Another thing you mentioned in your video as well, with the whole change of, you know, what Bulldog is doing now, you spoke about the mascot logos, how it's not a thing, it doesn't really work anymore, or you're not a fan of it anymore.
So
with the rebrand as well,
if people have got one, keep one, you know what I mean? Like, if you like it, you like it. Mm-hmm. So for example, Eminem, there's an all called Eminem, and Molotovs and Molotovs and marshmallows. Right, Molotovs and marshmallows. The name's cool as fuck. And they've got a burning marshmallow, right? And I really like that. And if I was them, I'd never change that. Right? Because I think it's really good, it's strong, it's simple.
Yeah.
And everyone knows them for it. And they're doing really well, you know what I mean? So for them, I wouldn't change it. But if I was starting there, I wouldn't personally go down the mascot route. And sometimes you have to ask yourself those difficult questions. You have to reassess what you're doing. And it's a case of, right, we're doing this. Why are we doing this? Are we doing it because we've always done it? Or are we doing it because we now think that's the best way of doing it?
Yeah.
And it's hard for people. And if people don't do it, I don't blame them. But every now and then you have to sort of reassess what you're doing. Right, this is what we've done. Can we do it better? And if we can, we should. You know what I mean? It shouldn't, in my opinion, ever be, nah, let's just hold on to it. Why? Because that's how it's always been. That's a quick route to mediocrity. If you want to keep growing and you want to stay around and you want to stay current and potentially get sponsors from outside of esports, then I think maybe some of the mascot logos, and a lot of times as well, people don't necessarily pay a lot for them. And there's nothing wrong with that if you haven't got a lot, you know what I mean? But at some point, yeah, you need to really fork out on a logo and spend a bit. And it might just be an idea to try to go a different way.
And with your new logo as well, obviously you've gone to the sort of B with the I'm guessing it's a collar around it. Is that what the
aim was? So that's a throwback to our part sort of thing, because obviously they had the red dog collar on the last one. Strats, who done our logo, he done our first one as well. He's also works for Sideman. He's done Old Men of Optics logo and that as well, so he sort of understands logos.
Yeah.
And we got him to do it, and that was something he suggested. He gave us, and then he went, but this one sort of ties back to your past, you know what I mean? And I like that. I like the little nod of what we've done so far, because without that, we wouldn't be where we are. And I didn't want to totally lose that.
Yeah, I get it. Someone put in the chat, Thomas BS, do you think you should invest more money into a CSGO team? Shout out to the Bulldog lineup, I58.
Ah, the legend, Thomas. Right. Yes and no. I think really good CS teams are worth the money. I think, unless they're one of the top ones, especially UK teams, they're probably not worth that they asked for. They're worth some money, but they're probably not worth the money that they asked for. But that's like anything. Same as some COD teams. The top few are probably worth that money. But outside of that, the value that they can bring drops off really quickly. And that's the problem. You always have to, like, all owners. I'd love to be a used car salesman and have all owners come into me, because I don't think any of them try to bargain for anything. They just go, how much? All right, take my money. You know what I mean? And they don't understand the value of it. And like I said, when you're an old git and you've been doing it forever, I've been to, so we've won, we've done all right in different esports, and I've tried to trade off of that with sponsors. And we've always had a decent sort of following. And companies just don't massively care. Some do. If you constantly got a team and they're doing well, then you can probably trade off of it. But off of one event, two events, you're sort of struggling, you know what I mean? You need to build that confidence in people, like sponsors, that you're going to be around doing it consistently. And you probably need a decent chunk of money to be able to do that with one of the better sides, you know what I mean? And 100% they're worth it. I mean, Thomas is worth whatever he wants. He's amazing. But
yeah,
other teams that speak to us are probably not, unfortunately, worth it.
Yeah, I get you. Omni Mushu said, Newts, do you think one of the main issues in the current scene, well, the UK at least, is the difference in funding between AM orgs and professional orgs playing top level?
I think it's an issue because see their friends who they might think they're as good as earning decent money from it. I think it can be an issue when players play for better organisations and it maybe doesn't work out for them. And then they're used to getting that, so they sort of expect it elsewhere. But at no point do I think it's anyone's sort of... The only people I blame are the organisations that pop up for 5 minutes, throw a load of money and disappear. Right? I think they're at fault a bit because they sort of create a false economic environment. But I think the people that are around, I don't think it's players' fault because they're entitled to ask for what they want. If you pay it, it's your own fault. And if you don't have enough money, then that's your own fault. Make more money. And if you've got the money to pay for it, then pay for it. You know what I mean? If you can afford to put players on salaries, then you've obviously, well, you should have, unless you're Red Reserve, you've obviously got a good business model where you can do it. You know what I mean? So do what you want. Just don't do a Red Reserve and offer these people all this stuff and then don't go through with it. Because then I think you've got no place in the scene. And I don't know if you've seen the tweets about Orbit, if they're going to have the people from Red as well. Like, I will literally do all I can to hand those people out because I don't think they deserve to have a place in the scene if you leave them in players' money. You know what I mean? To me, yeah, you're just scum. Like, you knew at the start what was going to happen. You know what I mean? You've got no place in this.
False promises and, you know, so forth. I think it's a lot what happens in this scene still to this day. False promises. As you said, you know, you can't, your bond is your word. You can't say you're going to give X amount to a team or somebody and then obviously not follow through with that and come with the simple, I didn't think I was going to get paid this month, this much, etc. Like, you,
people are relying on you. Like, you shouldn't. Yeah,
literally.
You shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? And a lot of these lads, although I said they should go out and get jobs, right, at the end of the day, if they think they don't have to and they can put more time into playing, you're going to benefit from that. So if they're relying on the money you're going to give them that fucking money. Like, if not, then to me, the first time that ever happens, those people should never be in esports anymore. No one should get a second chance.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You know what I mean? When we was in the UK LC, we potentially had someone that was going to give us 15 grand for our team for it. And the manager I had at the time, I brought him in the call with a person because I wanted him to know I weren't bullshitting him. And we were talking and that. And then literally 3 weeks before the league started, he pulled out and said, no, I don't want to do it anymore. This potential investor / sponsor.
Yeah.
So we then had to find the money because we already had the spot. You know what I mean? And instead of me thinking, you know what, I'm going to go ahead with it, this money, I was like, nope, we're going to cut down to, I think we ended up paying 1500 a month or something in the end to cover salaries and that. But we was open with everyone from the start. I got my players in. I was like, look, this is potentially what we could make from this. This is what we're going to give you. You can see we're breaking even pretty much.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to milk off of this. You're still going to get this. We'll give you this. And I think as long as you're honest and open with players, like, you'll be surprised the results you can get.
Yeah.
I just don't think that either some people have got the trust in players that they're not stupid or the confidence to talk to them about stuff like that. But we always have, because like I said, I'd sell my, you know what I mean? There's no way I'd do it.
Kai B said, what does G Clutch do for Bulldog now?
I'm not too sure. We should have a poll, innit? When we, and I'll,
right. I'm not too sure. Oh, Jesus. Nah, oh my God, that was the best response ever.
Thomas, that was Matt you're talking about, I think.
Oh, God. will you enter the UK LC again?
Oh, mate, we tried. it's just getting in it now. Like, so we got invited at first because of, I don't know, they must have been having an off day. No one else applied. And I sort of wanted to go into it with the mentality that I try to do everything. So we already had a League of Legends player that had played for us called Ego Speed, Max. And he went to Insomnia and that for us for nothing. He just wanted a jersey, right? And he was sound as a pound. So because he'd done sound nice, I wanted to incorporate sort of him and some of those lads in the team because it was a big chance for them. I never knew how the league was going to plan out. I always had a suspicion that it might not be as big as they thought it was going to be instantly. You know what I mean? When you was in talks with people, they're like, oh, this is the biggest thing. And we were told the right stuff, you know. I mean, we had an amazing media day with them, which they covered us for. It was really good to speak to the people from Riot about loads of stuff. And I learned a lot through that league about myself and about how to run things. But it never blew up. Like, we've got streamers. That's a lie. They'd get, like, if you were playing XL or Eminem or Fnatic, you might get about 500, 800 people in watching sometimes, max. When you were playing each other, you'd have, like, 300 max, 200 max. Now, for £1,500 a month for that sort of coverage isn't worth it, in my opinion. So we was a bit apprehensive. And from the start, I wanted to give people a chance. And unfortunately, our jungler, so you're allowed to imports. One of our imports got made homeless within, like, the second game. So he couldn't play for us. And we weren't allowed to make no transfer. So we had to shuffle everyone around. And then we finished sort of joint second bottom. But because of head-to-heads, we got put into the relegation.
Yeah.
The last one we tried to get back in, but it just didn't work out. It's something I'd like to do because I love League of Legends, but I'm also, to be honest, happy to be in the UK EL, which is sort of like the second division, because I get to take a gamble on things and try to develop people, which is something, as I've said already, we're passionate about.
Yeah.
And it still gets about as many views. And it's a lot less money. Like, and you still, because the same people are watching it, you know what I mean? If you like UK League of Legends, you're going to watch that one and you're going to watch the other one if you've got the time. So you still get decent views anyway. A little bit less stress and you can enjoy it a bit more. And sometimes it's nice to be able to enjoy what you're doing.
100%. What was I about to ask you now? That's the one. You sort of teased on Twitter, and I'll say it as well, there is stuff that you haven't released yet or said yet that you are or can say. So what are those things?
Right, so some I can't say, but one thing I can say.
Okay, well, the ones you can say then.
Yeah, so we've got a new investor/director joining us. His name's Mike. We haven't told anyone this. He's been around with us for a couple of months. He came in when I was asking people that wanted to join. He come, listen to the idea, and we've been working together. And I think he's happy, and we're happy with him. So it's cool to sort of let people know now. He's a really nice guy. He's been around the scene for a while. He knows what he's talking about, except he plays this truck game instead of playing proper esports games. But it's all right. He likes to drive a truck in his spare time. You know what I mean? Maybe that sounds like work, but he enjoys this. But apart from that, he's a really, really nice guy. He cares as well. He gets it. Anyone that does come on to sort of be a director in Bulldog has to care. Like, that's probably the main thing I look at. I can teach people esports. I can teach people how to run an org. I can't teach you to care. And you have to care, otherwise you'll never do well. But yeah, so Mike is going to be joining us. I'm sure we'll do a tweet about it. People going for shams.
Nice, man.
Other things. I'll sort of say next week we're going to announce a new partnership that's sealed. We're just making a little video for it, and then we potentially got a proper sponsor, but I think it's towards the end of the month that we'll know about that. We've spoke to them. I think they're pretty happy about it. It's someone that Mike knew, quite a big company, and they're going to be coming on board with us. This is the thing as well, so this idea that we've had and the way we want to do it, we've actually spoke to companies about it, and we get a lot better response talking to them like this than we do when we just say we're at esports org. People don't, like, older people don't get it. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you play computer games competitively. They don't get that.
Yeah.
If you start saying to them, look, like, so at the minute, even now, we've got one streamer with 600 subscribers. We've got other streamers that when they chuck it on, they stream to 100 people. And we've got numbers over the months, and we can say to them, look, we had 60,000 hours of stream time this month. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. I think it jumped up 35% because it was Christmas or whatever. And we've got these numbers, and that makes sense to them. Like, that's something that they can relate to. You know what I mean? They're never, a lot of people are never going to get people playing computer games, but they can relate to that because that's airtime. So it's really the two companies we spoke to since then, one's 100% on board. They're actually sending some products out to some of our people as we speak. And the other one, because Mike knows him, is looking quite strong. So it has had a good effect already.
Awesome, man. Hope that pans out for you guys over there. Another thing you said to me about what we spoke about as well is I think this is so vital to talk about because it's something that a lot of organization owners, even to be honest, even players, you know, casters, streamers, don't do yourselves. You said you've got to put your pride to the side and do what's best for Bulldog and the scene as a whole, hence the whole change. In terms of, you know, putting your pride aside and, you know, making the change.
Right. So the pride aside bit, like I said, I started out just in myself. And then it got, because we were sort of in my mind trying to compete and stuff like that, I like to set myself targets. And I wanted to do better all the time. And then it got to the point where there was people I liked to wind up. So I used to like winding people up that they couldn't beat us. We used to, like, at the AM orgs, we'd pretty much finish top at every event, like the highest that happened for a while. And we also had our young lads as well that went unbeaten for, what, a year and a half, saying stupid like that. Like, we just couldn't be touched. And I used to enjoy winding people because I'm a bit of a wind-up merchant. So, and it was something that made me feel proud as well, you know what I mean? Now, we could invest the sort of money that we'd need to try to keep that level of team or we could potentially get maybe a step down team or teams that understand our vision and bring them, and also develop our brand better. And I think that's what's more important. If you're going to go to companies and ask for money, you just don't need a strong team necessarily, unless you've got the money to afford one of the top ones. Just because players are transient, like, and unless you can put a contract that's going to stick, so some form of salary probably, like they can, they some 100% one of them is going to leave after, always happens, and that's all your investment. When they're gone, you've got nothing else. Like, I know some orgs that have gambled almost everything on the League of Legends. If they lost that spot, they're sitting there with their dicking around, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
I never want to be in that position where one team leaving me can make this fold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather build a strong foundation, a strong organization, use our money wisely. Yeah. And then if that does happen, it's all right. Catch you later, mate. We'll get someone else in. Or you're not having that much of an effect on us because we've built something. You know what I mean? So you can't hurt us and stuff like that. And you don't sort of have the issues of, oh, like I said, people leaving and or getting a better offer. Like, so even if we had a COD team, and even if they was on, I did have a contract, and someone come along and offer more money, I'm not that much of a dick that I'm going to stop and go.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd never do that. And so because of that, like, it can change everything. Like, Grant Nassett's ex now, he's one of their sort of management. Before he was there, he was at Splice, and then he was at CLG before that. He joined CLG from being our league manager. Can you imagine that conversation when I got a message from mate, I'm going, why, bruv? We're doing this and that. And he was like, I've got an offer from CLG in America. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, I had a couple, I've got dodgy eyes anyway, anyway. I was having a problem, like, look at this. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, fucking jog on, bruv. Well done. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
not, yeah.
And then a little bit later, we lost our coach, Mac, who went to another team. He was at Splice. He's now the coach for Mad Lions. And you can't stop people doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, so if all you're doing is investing in players and teams, while it might work for some people, I think that your business model is really fragile because you're not really investing in yourself. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to invest in our streamers because they're doing a really, really good job. Honestly, we're so lucky with some of them. And like I said, still have teams, but right. And we've got a Dota team at the minute. And one of the lads, we've got little bits from and stuff like that. There's other things you can do apart from just sending them to events, you know what I mean? And I'd like to be able to do that for people. Because like I said, that's what we've done historically, which is what I remembered when people messaged me, what's this, you helped me with this, you know what I mean, when I couldn't do stuff. And that's what I think an organisation should be about, not just about, like, we're sending this one team. Everyone knows organisations that just chin everyone else off. They'll have streamers, and all they'll do is retreat their stream. And they don't care about nothing else. They just want those streamers there because they think it gives them publicity. They don't really do anything to help those streamers. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, the way things are going, and by the fact that there's more people out there watching, I think it's important to show them that they are valued. And yeah, you can make some good... And the thing with a streamer is, you're never going to have an issue making content, mate. If you were to say to a couple of your streamers, well, we're going to get a cameraman for the day, we're going to do some... play some games, something like that, they'll be biting your arm off because they want to make content. They want to push themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the sort of streamers we want on board because that's what we want to do. We've already got a couple of ideas for stuff. And we're sort of looking at doing that, hence the entertainment. Make some entertaining videos. I don't even watch them. Like, I won't even be able to tell you they're good or bad because I just don't watch them because it's nothing that's going to appeal to me. So I want to watch... We want us to make stuff that we'd want to watch ourselves.
Yeah.
And we want to push ourselves that way. I almost feel like, you know, in between us, like, esports completed it, man. I know we didn't, like, get to the top, but for what we wanted to do, we've sort of done it. I've won events and stuff like that. I know how it feels. I've had that feeling. And why it's an amazing feeling, I want to do more. Yeah. And I know Will Gleedy wants to do more. He's always the fucking leaps and bounds in the last year, like... and I know Mike's, like, we have to keep reminding Mike about budget, like, because I know he wants to push boundaries. He's like, wow, we'll do this, we'll have helicopters coming in. But he don't really, but, like, he's always got big grand ideas and, like, really good ideas for stuff we can do. So I'm hoping that we make some decent stuff. We might not now. We'll end up, like, with me on the phone just recording me talking. But we've got some good plans. As long as we can execute.
I want some praise. No, okay, from Exotic.
Exotic, you're amazing, mate. If anyone wants any video editing done, go Exotic.
To touch up, obviously, on the streamers, and obviously, as you said as well, one of the key points that, you know, I've really questioned you on when you come to me with this, and obviously you was releasing your ideas and you're asking for feedback. Mine was to step, obviously, you're not stepping out of esports. So if you are joining late, by the way, guys, Bulldog isn't out of esports, in case you've missed it. They're still in esports. Like, they're not running away, don't worry.
We've got a League of Legends thing to announce this week as well. So that's how much we're announcing a League of Legends thing.
Yeah. Am I your mid laner?
No.
Yeah, you gotta shoot your shot, it's 2020. Yeah, one of the things that we spoke about, obviously, with you, you wanted to focus heavily on content as well. And the idea you put forth to me is, you know, you pay X amount to send a team to an event, and as you said in your video, you get nothing basically out of that, because they can run off, they see it as a free holiday, they see their mates, they're not focused on your content. But whereas you just said then you focus on your streamers and you make videos that you want to watch, in terms of people that don't understand, how much more beneficial for you as an organization would that be?
Hopefully a lot. It depends if people want to watch. But if you can, so for example, like I said, stream time and video time and stuff, you can get all your statistics off. But just think of it personally. This is how I always try to position of the person I'm going to go and ask money for. If I was to just come to myself and say, look, I've got 18, I want you to give me this much money, the first thing I'd think is, why don't I just take your team off you and have them playing under my brand if you basically want me to fund them anyway? Right? And that's it. You've got nothing. What else have you got? Nothing. Right. Okay. So if I do decide to pay this money, and if you convince me, good, I'll just go out and take your team off. I don't need you. You have nothing else about you. And yeah, that's the truth. Right. However, if you come to me and you're saying to me, right, so we've got a couple of good teams. What we've also got is over the last 6 months, we've been averaging 60,000 hours of stream time. We've been averaging, I don't know, 40, 50 hours of YouTube time. In that time, we've improved 20% on each of them, for example. We can put your logo on there, blah, blah, blah. As a company, I instantly think, right, so I've got 60,000 hours there. I've got stuff that I can start doing sums with. Like, I'm talking numbers. So they can be like, right, how much do I think it is worth putting, paying for the hours? You know what I mean? So I'm already starting to make them think. And it's also something they can't instantly recreate. They can't just take that off me, because you're going to have followers. You're going to have people that want to watch your content if you make good content. So you're going to get more people coming back. You're going to get more people viewing it. So you now have a product. The problem with esports tools is we make nothing, right? Like, very few companies traditionally survive from not making something. You have to produce something. It's a transaction. Yeah. I make this, you give me money. Right? That's just like how stuff goes. But we don't. We make nothing. All we do is people make some fucking shoddy clothing and say, buy my clothing. We really love the community. Yeah, only right. You do fuck all else from otherwise, except for giveaways. Yeah. Like, it's shit. We do nothing. Right. So we have to stop being lazy and produce stuff. You know what I mean? Like, because then we're making stuff. Then when you go and speak to businesses, you know what I mean? You've got something there. We've had people, when we spoke about investment before, and they've said, what do you value your company as? How the fuck do we value our companies? We make nothing. Well, if someone gave us money to invest it, the conversation, I mean, don't get me wrong, just simplifying it for everyone. Right, I'll give you 10 grand. What are you going to do with that 10 grand? I'll spend it on a team. What's the outcome of that when you're spending it on a team? What are we making back? Well, I don't know. It depends where they place. So technically, I could give you that 10 grand and it goes, yeah, okay, sweet. Now, I'm going to give you that 10 grand. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take that 10 grand, 5 grand I'm going to spend, 5 grand out of that content, I can expect to get this many hours views back, blah, 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 your logo in front of this many people. So I'm going to put it on the start of my videos with my streamers. It's going to be on their stream or something like that. You know what I mean? Might have a little thing rotating. And you're starting to, you're giving value to them. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you want money from them. Right. And we're so lazy. Oh, come and look at us. My team plays. It's so what? Jog on. You know what I mean? I just think, like, there's been times as well when other organizers, like, because I know I've got, like, I know if I really needed to, but I don't, because I'm not a child. But if I'm prepared to do that, why wouldn't a company, if you go with an amazing team with a brilliant idea, why won't that company just take your team?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that's a bit, I know it's not going to happen, it's a bit simplified, but that's the way you sort of see it. It's almost like that sort of triangle, you know what I mean? So if you think you can have the team at the top, Ooh. That's a triangle. So you have your team at the top, then on one side you have your community, and on the other side you have content. So like any one of those probably isn't enough. But if you've got a strong community and strong content, you've got something to sell. If you've got a strong community and a strong team, you've got something to sell because they're getting good placements and they're also getting support, and your organization's got an influence in the community. So you can trade off of that influence. And again, if you've got a good team and strong content, then you're going to produce good content about that strong team, and people are going to view that and again give you an influence. But one of them alone, in my opinion, isn't enough. And too many people are just trying to trade off one of them. So again, we're going to try to change that and do it properly, and hopefully try to do it at least 2 out of 3.
Awesome, man. A question coming in from the chat. Will new merch and jerseys be coming out?
They will. Simple. We have to. We've got a new...
Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. And I think my last question for you, unless another one pops into my head. Of course, guys, if you do have any questions, get them in now in the Twitch chat so I can ask Tony before he goes to bed, because he's a bit old these days. My one for you is, are you not scared about the change, but would you say worried?
No. Is a short thing. We've thought, right, so personally, I've thought about this for about a year, since my boy's been born, probably, when I sat back and I was assessing things. And then I'm really confident in the people, right, so I've spoke to people, like I said, I spoke to you, I spoke to a few other owners, I've spoke to, obviously, the people at Bald, and, like, I'm confident in the team that we've got here. We've got our social, like, so our content manager's a good guy. We're going to have someone else that's coming on to take care of the American side for that, so they can also do tweeting out for us during American hours, because that's always been a problem. We could never have American streamers in the past because we couldn't really support them.
Yeah.
We found a solution to that, which will make our Twitter 24 hours now. And then, like I said, Will works his ass off, mate, and he has good ideas. Mike seems really... we're still probably looking to bring on another 2 director/investors, if anyone's interested. Just because I can envision there's going to be quite a big workload. And I think that's the one thing that would make me a little bit happier. If we had like another 2 people, 1 for ideas, 2, because if we do some content, it means 1 person or 2 people don't always have to be there. So say I've got my kid that weekend, Mike's working or whatever, then I'd always like one of the directors to be at a shoot or something like that, for example, to be able to direct it and say, what's going on? There's only 3 of us, it puts a bit more of a stress on us. We go out to 5 or something like that, there's always going to be someone free or living near that area probably that can go and do it. So I think that's something that would make me a little bit more confident in it. But overall, like I said, we've got a pretty strong team here, and there's no way we would have done it if we didn't think we could do it. If we get this sponsor to help again, give a little bit more funds. But I definitely think, like the thing is as well, like I said, we've got... 2 of our lads were playing at the Clash thing they had at the ESL. And to get there, they literally picked the top 4, I think it was, players ranked-wise. They played a round robin, and the top 2 went to go. And one of our guys won it. So if they do an ESL Prem, we're going to have a pretty strong team for that. Yeah. Like I said, we've got a League of Legends team we're announcing for the UKEL, which I'm happy about. And even with just those 2, I'd be happy ticking over. We've got Lewis's team playing in the Call of Duty for us online. So that's a little thing there. Plus, we're always happy and looking to take on. And what this gives us an opportunity with the ego, we can take on people that we might not have risked before.
Yeah.
So I've always had a worry that if we take on certain things, either people will think we're slipping or they'll get grief because they're not good enough. However, with this, if we find people that we can trust and believe in and want to develop themselves in that, we might be now taking a gamble on them. So we could, in theory, pick up more teams than we would have done in the past. Because we don't have that pressure. You know what I mean? We sort of come out of the closet and said what we're going to do. So we don't have people down and we're trying to do. And if we do give a chance to maybe some lesser players or something like that, people can see why, and we can show them that what we're trying to do does work. So I'm more excited than worried. A little bit apprehensive, but definitely not worried.
Yeah. A question from the chat was, are you going to be staying with Gamers Apparel moving forward, or...
We weren't with Gamers Apparel in the first place.
I swear that was the... Are you sticking to Gamers Apparel or open someone else was the question, so...
Yeah, we weren't the Gamers Apparel in the first place.
Yeah, that answers your question to the guy in the chat. Who is you with armor?
Yeah, who's with armor?
Yeah, re-put his question. Are you going to be staying with armor then?
We'll see. I can't send him on it at a minute.
Well, I mean, for me personally, that is it's a thank you, obviously, you know, for taking the time out and coming on and obviously getting all this out.
Mate. Thanks for having me. Like, I don't do these very often, very picky, but you guys are trying to do a good thing here, you know what I mean? So I'm happy you gave me a chance to sort of talk, and hopefully it sort of explained to people and maybe gave some people some ideas so they can hopefully do things better. And I can start respecting more people again.
No, man, I appreciate it. I know the team behind the scenes was happy as well. I know they tried getting you on a while back. There's over the moon when we got you, but I think it was a good time, obviously, with the recent announcements of what you guys have got planning. But obviously,
it's why it made sense as well. I didn't want to come and just talk about bullshit. I do that anyway, but I didn't want to waste your time. So at least this gave you something to talk to me about instead of me just about how bad everything is and how good everything used to be. I could hopefully try to spark the thoughts of some people, you know what I mean, and get people to push themselves, push their boundaries, and not just operate in that comfort zone. It's like when you go to the gym. If you go to the gym and only put in 50%, you don't grow.
Yeah,
like you have to put in 100%, so you rip your muscles and then you get stronger and you get bigger. It's same with any business. If you want to do well, you've got to put in 100%. Be prepared to hurt for a little bit, but then hopefully you're stronger in the long run.
100%. And I think a big thing as well is how long Bulldog has been around and how long it has been Bulldog Esports. The change to the scene, obviously the change to you guys as well, it's going to be a bit different. But as you said, it's for the better, as you can see the changes needed. And the way it runs right now, it just don't work.
Yeah, right. I mean, we was all right. We could have trickled, but what's the point in just like carrying on as it is? And we weren't necessarily getting the enjoyment out of it.
There's like, no point in being a dead horse.
Yeah, like it's just silly, like, and what's the you know, like when people tweet out these are my favorite things, and they, I don't know, they mention the nan and all shit like that, all the organizations that nobody really cares about, right? Yeah. They tweet these out, and I always think to myself, the only reason they're just random names and stuff like that or nothing else is because no one's doing anything different. So it's hard to separate everyone because everyone's doing the same bullshit. So if you want to do better in that, you have to be the change you want to see. So we're going to try to be the change that we want to see in the community, and hopefully it works and makes the community a better place.
I mean, I hope it works out for you. I'm very excited to see what you do have coming forward as well with your other plans. I'm excited to see the announcement of the League of Legends.
Yeah, it should be good. They're good lads. They're actually really funny. We've gotten a call to talk about it. So, and I think they'll do. I don't want to give too much away because I don't want them to announce this, but yeah, good lads.
That's good, man. To everybody in the chat, of course, that is going to be it for this episode. So thank you to everybody, of course, that did tune in for episode 8. I was losing track of what episode we was on then.
But you're gonna be fucked in another 2 episode when you run out. Yeah.
I just have to get on the Twitch chat and just have a look again. That's just what I always do at the end of an episode. But yeah, so everybody tuned in, thank you. We highly appreciate it. Of course, one more time, Tony, thank you for coming on and explaining everything as well, man. We appreciate it. Of course, Jamie, I just put the links in the chat. Make sure to go and follow not only Newts, but of course, follow Bulldog as well. Well, Bulldog Entertainment now. I suppose it's time we start using the new name.
We can't get it's too many letters for the Twitter, mate. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I didn't think of that one first, did I?
You got to work around that one, then.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, make sure you go drop those guys a follow in the chat. Of course, they're doing incredible things and are planning to do incredible things. And of course, if you wonder where you can find us, just scroll down. You can see on the panels below, you can find the Pusher Media Twitter. And of course, you can find everything out about Social Esports, the people who power this podcast, and the YouTube, of course. Make sure you go and subscribe so you do not miss an episode. And follow the Twitch, of course, so you don't miss an episode of when we go live, whether that be in an interview or a truth episode or some new stuff that we might have planned, who knows. But for now, that will be it. Thank you to everybody that tuned in, of course, and I suppose we will see you next week.